This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Luckiest team in the league? Or maybe just the most resilient? Another pulsating goal fest at Portman Road, and it's 6 wins in a row for the first time since 1992. This is Blue Monday. Well, that was pretty incredible, wasn't it? Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town up or down since 2015. My name is Mikey Pensey-Smith, and joining me for this live match reaction show, the adrenaline is still high. What an absolute journey that was, Seb. Incredible scenes. Have you got your breath back yet?
No. This team, wow. Unbelievable. There are so many superlatives I could reel off right now. What a team. What a time to be a Town fan. They never know when they are beaten. I thought, was it 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we sat here for Rotherham? And we were kind of saying, oh, that was an eventful second half, but that was a pretty poor performance. But the second half tonight was was something else, even on that one, I think. And yeah, if I had my Apple Watch on, I'm fairly sure my heartbeat monitor would have been telling me to calm down from probably about the 80th minute onwards for the last 20 minutes or so. Phenomenal. What a side.
Yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it? And a game that really didn't feel like it was going to be what it turned out to be at halftime, did it?
I wonder if you'd have said to us at halftime, in the first half, we'll discuss it, not in any great detail because nothing really happened. If you'd have said to us at halftime, oh, it's going to be 3-2, missed penalty after 85 minutes, 89th minute winner or whatever, we all would have looked at you in total disbelief, because the second half, the subs, the momentum, the crowd in the second half, everything was absolutely superb. And thankfully, it dragged us across the line, as this team always does. You know, we shouldn't really, I don't think, be that surprised anymore. I think Sky was saying it's the seventh time we've come from behind to win a game so far this season. We saw various tweets in the week that we've taken the most points from kind of losing positions. And this team, there is nothing else to say anymore. This team, this manager, I just love them. I can't. They're phenomenal, aren't they? To a man, this squad and the manager is absolutely phenomenal.
Phenomenal indeed. I've brought up a few of the initial comments in the chat. Obviously, this is a live match reaction show, so we're joined probably predominantly at the moment, so by people like us, people that couldn't be at the game tonight, but we're hopefully going to start very soon hearing from people in the chat that are actually there tonight at Portman Road, including Rich Woodward. I think we've already seen him in the chat. He's going to be joining us when he gets home to let us know what it was like in the stadium. But I thought it was a fantastic atmosphere in the stadium tonight, pretty much throughout the whole game. We've actually got a Bristol City fan in here. Annie Harris says, thought that they deserved a point. However, Ipswich's attacking momentum was, well, mind-blowing. I'm guessing that emoji means we couldn't cope with that. Davis is brilliant. Yeah, I mean, we weren't saying Davis was brilliant when Bristol City scored their second goal, but they more than played their part tonight, didn't they, Seb? They were really difficult opposition for us.
They were, yeah, came with a game plan. We'll discuss the formation and the tactics they employed. And sometimes you have to hold your hands up and give credit to the opposition, don't you? You know, Manning got a lot of things right for the first kind of, 75 minutes of that game. He nullified us. They were disciplined in their approach. They were trying to clog up the central midfield and make it difficult for us to play. And yeah, I thought they played well. They've not been on a great run of form recently. Some abuse and some stick for the manager at full-time on Saturday after losing to Cardiff, which I guess is kind of a derby. But they certainly gave a good account of themselves. And for a long time in that match, you kind of were thinking they were going to leave with at least a point, if not three, given how the game was unfolding. But this team is relentless, as we know. You know, the attack after attack will come. If we can't get down the right-hand side with Burns, we'll come down the left-hand side with Davis. And in the end, they just couldn't cope with it, could they? But I did think they played well.
Yeah, they did. Let's get into the team news, first of all. So this is how we lined up tonight, as long as I've clipped up the right one here, Seb. So Luongo back in after illness. Tuan Zabi keeps his place ahead of Davis at right back. And Harness brought in for Sarmiento from the start. No real surprises there, Seb?
I don't think so. Travis obviously got booked, didn't he, against Plymouth on Saturday. So he's walking a bit of a tightrope now. If he gets booked again, either tonight or on Saturday, he would then miss two games. So if Longo's good enough to go, it makes sense for him to come back in. I guess Sarmiento was a bit of a debate at full time on Saturday. For me, I thought he was brilliant when he came on today. I really like it when he comes off the bench. Sometimes when he starts, he struggles to get involved in games as much, which I think is why Harness probably came in, and the rest of it just picks itself, doesn't it? You know, great to see Burns back on the bench. I mean, the attacking options on that bench are absolutely phenomenal. You know, Sarmiento, Burns, Jack Taylor's back in the squad, Jackson, Alhamadi, more on him later. The bench was incredibly attacking looking, and great to have Burns back involved as well.
Yeah. Would he go on to make an impact though, Seb? We will find out, won't we? Let's have a quick look at the Bristol City team there. Any names that jump out from there? Naki Wells has been a decent championship striker for a long time now, hasn't he? But Conway missed out. He was on a little bit of a goal drought going into this game, I believe.
He was before this game. Yeah, obviously, spoiler alert, we know he gets their second goal. Mometi's a name we know from League One. Obviously, got a move from Wickham to Bristol City. It was January 23, I think, wasn't it? Moved up there. Dickie's got a bit of experience at QPR and stuff. And they saw Sky's graphics were showing it as a 4-2-3-1, but it came pretty apparent very early on. It was more of either a 4-4-1-1 or a 4-4-2, wasn't it? With Jason Knight pushed right up alongside Wells and the kind of flat, compact sort of four across the midfield to try and stifle us.
Indeed, and let's get into this match action. As you alluded to, Seb, there wasn't an incredible amount of action in the boxes during the first half. Gary Tappouse and Andy Hinchcliffe were the commentators on Sky Sports tonight, and they obviously have a very high opinion of us, because every single time a move broke down, it felt like they were saying, oh, it's getting edgy here, and we expect so much more from Ipswich. We were below par, that's fair enough, but maybe a slight overreaction from them, in my opinion anyway. Morsey won the ball high up in the 21st minute, slipped in Kiefer Moore. Here's a low shot that's pretty comfortably saved by O'Leary. 32 minutes, Bristol City gave the ball away quite cheaply. Moore slips in Chaplin. This kind of sums up the first half of Chaplin. He just completely mishits a cross, and it amounts to nothing. And a minute later, we get our first corner of the game. Davis whips it in, Moore flicks it on, and Chaplin's there at the back post, but he has no angle there, does he, Seb, and hits the post. That's our best effort of the first half by some distance.
Yeah, it was a brilliant flick on, wasn't it, from Kiefer Moore. Superb flick on to the back post. The angle is completely against him. He does well to kind of readjust and get a shot off, but obviously he does clip the post. So yeah, that was that, and the Kiefer Moore shot were the only two real things that happened in that first half. It was very much a game of them kind of, they were happy to let the keeper, Hladke, and the two centre-halves have the ball up to the halfway line. They weren't looking to kind of press us man for man. They were happy to leave us to it, kind of play really compact, have a four across the middle that was very disciplined, a four across the back, and they just looked to really stifle us to make sure we couldn't get going. The Morsey one, where he kind of broke on the ball and looked to drive to slip Kiefer Moore in, I think that was the first real time we kind of got an effort to to break the lines. And yeah, it was a bit of a frustrating half. You know, there was probably a 10, 15 minutes period, I think, in that first half where it was very quiet. You could hear the players coming through very loudly on the Sky mics. It kind of reminded me of a COVID game with no fans in the stadium because all you could hear was our players and the opposition players. So I think the crowd kind of realised at that point it was going to be a bit of a tricky one, a bit of a war of attrition, which the first half was. But that said, we still hit the woodwork. Keith Moore still had that effort. You know, we still had a couple of half chances, I would say. Nothing really clear cut, but a couple of half chances. And I guess going into half time, you're sort of thinking, right, well, this is going to be a bit of a difficult one and we're going to kind of find a way here, be it through substitutes, be it through a set piece, something to try and pick the lock, because they were playing really, really disciplined, really great tactics. I was impressed with Manning's tactics, not so much the time wasting. We don't like that. Obviously, the taking age of a throw-in is taking age of a goal kick. I know we shouldn't really whinge because it's part of the game, but it's still very, very frustrating. But at halftime, yeah, I was thinking this is going to be a night for a set piece, a moment of magic, something, maybe the subs off the bench to get involved and look to make something happen, because it was very attritional that first half, I would say.
Yeah, you mentioned the crowd going a little bit quiet. I had a slight tech issue with my mic for the start of this podcast. Hopefully you can hear me loud and clear now, Seb.
Did you like how I just kept talking whilst you were rearranging things and just kept repeating myself over and over until you were set?
Magnificent stuff. You're well used to being on a podcast with me, aren't you, Seb, at this stage? But yeah, hopefully we're all good now. Getting towards the end of the first half here, and Naki Wells has a header well saved by Sladky on 38 minutes. Sladky throws his cap on that one, really, and that was Bristol City's first chance on target. But then Knight has a decent chance where Wolfenden gets into a little bit of a mess, but to be fair to Wolfie, he does recover well, and it's him who deflects the ball wide. Overall, we've kind of covered it now. It was a frustrating first half, and in my opinion, not quite as bad as the Sky commentators were making out, because we're not going to score every time we go forward. And getting in at 0-0 at half time, I mean, we'd have taken that quite a few times in recent weeks, wouldn't we?
Yeah, very much so.
So yeah, let's get into this absolutely crazy second half, Seb. I have no notes until the 55th minute of the game. Feels like a long time ago now, doesn't it? And what can you remember about Bristol City's opening goal?
I'll be honest, I might get this a bit wrong because it seems like it was 5 hours ago, the emotion that we've been through since then. Is it Luongo gives the ball away in midfield and it finds Mometi and he drives towards goal and Twanzebe's kind of there, and I guess you're thinking, show him down the line. You know, they did such a good job of marshalling Whittaker at the weekend and stopping him kind of cutting inside. You're wanting Twanzebe to just show him down the line to put a cross in. But he cuts inside, gets a shot off, and it deflects. It's Wolfenden, I think, isn't it, that deflects off, goes in off flag key, and then you've kind of seen, what, 6, 7, 8 minutes of the first half when the tactics have been the same. It's compact, it's frustrating, it's attritional, they're very disciplined, and you're kind of thinking, oh no, this wasn't on the script. You don't really want to give them something to kind of hang on to, but we did, and it was a bit of luck. You know, we get luck on Saturday with Chaplin's goal deflected. The luck goes against us with the deflection for this one. Plaggy, no chance. I just thought maybe Twanzebe should have shown him down the line a little bit, but I thought Mometi got better as the half went on. You know, he's not really set the world alight since moving there from Wickham. Came back into the side tonight. Didn't feature at the weekend. He came back, one of three changes back into the lineup. And yeah, I thought he did well to be direct, drive towards goal. And at that point, having seen the first 55, 56 minutes, I was kind of thinking, oh no, this might not be how we want it to go tonight. But how silly of me not to fully, completely back this team, obviously.
We've got so much more to get through, haven't we? Chris McTaggart has sent us 10 New Zealand dollars. Thank you so much. He's ecstatic. So are we. What time is it over there? You must be the early hours of the morning, isn't it?
Driving to
work.
Maybe
it is the morning now. It probably is time for work now. Yeah, good luck with that, Chris. Thank you very much. Yeah, just 4 minutes. Let's not forget, 4 minutes after Bristol City take the lead, as Rob Holmes alludes to here, Wells missed an absolute sitter at 1-0. That was a let-off. It was really good play from Wells down their right channel, wasn't he? Cuts inside Burgess, and then Burgess is in that difficult position where he can't commit to a tackle. Davis kind of loses balance completely. Wells cuts inside, looks to bend it into the far corner of his left foot and just gets under it a little bit, but still it comes back down off the crossbar. A real let off for us. And then it's at that stage where we make a quadruple sub. This is quite a bit earlier than what we normally do. Wes Burns, Sarmiento, Al Hamadi, and Taylor come on for Hutchinson, Harness, Moore, and Luongo. And It's an instant impact from the bench gang, isn't it, Seb?
It is, yeah. Quadruple sub on the hour mark. Just quickly going back to that effort that Wells hit the woodwork with. I think if that goes in, that's a very long way back, given how the game was playing out at that stage. So you kind of look at key moments in matches, maybe key moments in season, and that might be one we look back on as a bit of a let off. But the four subs, yeah, instantly they're involved. It's superb determination from Burns, isn't it? Hutchinson kind of couldn't really get past his man much tonight, but Burns has that drive, that directness, that pace. He shows real desire to kind of win the ball, doesn't he? Pulls it back. Nobody is there with the original cutback. I'm kind of thinking, oh no, they've played it behind everybody. Davis, however, is running in, side foots it, and Alhamidi just gets a tiny little toe on the ball, sends the keeper the kind of the wrong way, gets it across the line. And then you're thinking, right, here we go now. The subs have combined instantly. We're now going to go on. The roof's going to come off the ground and we're not going to look back. And yeah, great impact. One sub to Davis, another sub turning the ball in, and you're kind of thinking, right, lift off, here we go. And the crowd at that point didn't really, I know we're about to talk about a Bristol goal, but from that point onwards, the crowd were really good and really got behind the side.
Yeah, they were, and they needed to be, because Bristol City did regain their composure. We were hoping that we could just plough on from there like we normally do when we get back into games, but fair play to Bristol City. They took the sting out of the game again and then started to be a little bit more aggressive going forward again, showing no signs of settling for the 1-1 draw at that stage. 74th minute, they come close to regaining their lead. Mehmedi cuts inside, hits a brilliant curling shot, and Pladke makes a fantastic one-handed save. It's the best save we've seen from him for a little while. Tommy Conway then comes on for Bristol City, and there's all the chat about the fact that he hasn't scored since January against West Ham in the FA Cup. But in the 77th minute, he makes an impact with a fantastic looping header from his perspective, but some poor defending in our left channel.
It's a crap goal to concede by us. There's no way around it, is there? It's a long ball down the channel. I don't know if Davis just misjudges the flight. He looks like he's going to kind of commit to the header and kind of gets things wrong, and suddenly he's caught cold. Sykes does really well, I think, the right winger, to get down to the byline. It's a lovely cross, cross put in. It's a great header, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know, it's a brilliant header. I think he's only a kid, isn't he, Conway? He's not that old. Is he 21, 22? And yeah, it's a phenomenal header. Hladky kind of loops over him into the goal. And again, at that point, you're kind of thinking, no, this isn't how the script was meant to be. But a really great cross, a great header, but poor from us. Davis, I mean, we're not going to criticise him too much, given the fact he's, what, forced an own goal, got a couple of assists tonight. But that was a poor moment by when he misjudged the flight of the ball. A poor goal to concede by our standards. But let's be honest, it's what we do, isn't it? You know, we sit here most weeks and bemoan a moment of poor defending or whatever. And thankfully, we have enough firepower in this side to get ourselves out of the murder when we need to.
We do. And what helps us, Seb, is we can win free kicks in the final third, and we've got dangerous delivery, haven't we? How many times has that worked for us this season? Leif Davis whipping in balls, and he's given the opportunity to, just moments after we go behind, talk us through goal two for us, Seb.
Crucial to hit back so quickly again, wasn't it? You know, we kind of, the longer the game goes on at 2-1, we start to get frustrated. So the instant reply was again critical. Very similar to the Sunderland goal, really, isn't it? The one we scored kind of mid-January time. It's a similar position for the free kick from Davis. Beautiful ball in. Chaplin, who I'll be honest, I didn't think had a great game up until that point, was kind of, things in the first half weren't really coming off for him. The little flicks he was trying weren't really coming off for him. But he does brilliantly just to get ahead of his man. I think it's Gardner-Hickman he gets ahead of. And then, yes, there's so much pace on the ball, the keeper gets a hand to it, but I can only push it up to the top of the net. And yeah, at that point again, we all go crazy. We think we know what's about to come. And sometimes, as I said, when things aren't going your way, a moment of quality from a set piece delivery can make the world of difference. And it's the old routine, isn't it? It's Davis to Chaplin, be it a byline cross to Chaplin running in, or like Sunderland, very similar, a whipped kind of in swinging ball with the left foot for a header. It's sometimes what you need when things aren't necessarily going your way.
Lovely, lovely stuff. And to celebrate that goal, here's a 10 euros from Steve Catchpole. Seb, fantastic.
I think we had one, well, Steve. I don't know if it was mentioned. I think we had one right at the start of the evening by Richard Howenstein, I think. I'm not sure if we picked up on that one. So thank you to Richard as well. Very, very kind tonight.
There we are. Yeah, I love this club, Richard. Yeah, we love it too. And we love doing this, don't we, Seb? Especially after these games, and you especially have earned this, because you were doing the original live match reaction shows after nil nils and 3-0 drubbings against Northampton Town, right?
Yeah, very much so. This is kind of payback for the god-awful years we all sat here so many times trying to think of things to say for an hour.
Yeah, so we're reaching the 84th minute now and there's still so much to get through. golden opportunity to take the lead after Burns has played in behind. His pace was just fantastic off the bench tonight, wasn't it? It made such a difference. And he's really clever here, Sebri. He's running at top speed, so it's difficult to keep control of the ball. So what he's done is he's cut across his man, so he pretty much had to bring him down. He lunges in, the defender does get a slight touch, but this is a penalty, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, nailed on. Like you say, Burns is running at speed and he's got every right. Maybe he's slightly looking for it. He's aware where the player is, like you say, but he's got every right to go down there. It's a pretty silly challenge to put in unless you're fully confident in it. It's a really silly challenge from the left back to go there. And Burns, you wouldn't have think he'd missed the last game and gone off kind of subbed in the game before that with an injury. His pace was absolutely explosive tonight. Mm-hmm. We'll probably talk in a minute about the injury time. There were a couple more times he was just flying down the flanks, wasn't he? That directness and that pace, they simply couldn't cope with it. And yeah, the ref kind of took a minute or two, a second or two, does the bit of a half dramatic kind of point to the spot, and then there's some shenanigans, isn't there, around the penalty spot, and you've got Chaplin holding the ball, Davis is there kind of protecting the spot. I think the keeper got booked as well, didn't he, for some gamesmanship. And then Chaplin hands the ball off to Alhamady, plants the ball down. We've seen him score a penalty in the dying minutes previously at Millwall a few weeks ago, so we all know what's going to happen. And then he comes forward and it's just simply not a great penalty, is it? Let's be honest, you know, it's a poor penalty. It's not going in the corner. Keeper, it's a pretty comfortable save, no real power on the shot. And yeah, you kind of, the emotions again, you've gone from the high of the equalizer, the high of the penalty award, suddenly you're back down a little bit. You look at the clock and you've got 5 minutes to go plus injury time, and you're kind of thinking, right, well, maybe 2-2 won't be that bad given where we were at 74 minutes and how the first half played out.
Yeah, and I was fearing the worst when Chaplin finally handed Alhamady the ball and he dropped it.
I didn't notice that, did he? Right, that should have been a sign. Yeah.
I mean,
do you think it was the right choice to take the penalty? Because some people in the chat are saying that Chaplin should have taken it, but obviously Chaplin hasn't got the best record, as he? Broadhead's normally the nominated taker or Hurst, but they're not on the pitch. So do you think he was the right man to take it?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I don't think this is a discussion if Alhamady steps up and scores the penalty. And
yeah,
if you're a really good penalty taker, you're given the ball. Like, I know he missed, but Bukayo Saka was given the ball in the Euros, wasn't he? And he missed, unfortunately, but then he's proven himself to be a fantastic penalty taker and he's learnt from it, learnt from that experience, and he's the designated penalty taker for Arsenal now. Chaplin's already missed a few. Like you say, he wasn't having a fantastic game either. It's not like he had a fantastic ball striking night. He scored with a header, didn't he? I think if Broadhead was on the pitch, maybe there's slightly more of a debate there, because Broadhead has scored some important penalties for us, but he's also missed one as well, hasn't he? So I personally didn't have any issue with Alhamady taking it. It's just a shame that he did kind of scuff it a little bit. Not a great penalty from him. But I don't know what you said, but at this stage, I was like, this is as well as we've played all game, though. So we just kept flying forward, didn't we? 89th minute is when we take the lead. And it's Route 1, isn't it? Wolfenden just pinging a long diagonal ball up to the head of Jeremy Sarmiento. Talk us through what happens there.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit more kind of Route 1, I guess, 89th minute or so. The luckiest side in the league, apparently, scores so many late goals. It's not tactics. It's not substitutions. It's not fitness. It's luck, apparently. Yeah, it's direct, isn't it? Sarmiento. And then Davis is kind of in space and gets his shot off. And then Dickie's kind of looking to cut the ball out. I think it's Dickie, isn't it? Looking to cut the ball out and just turns it into his own net. And we all go absolutely crazy. You know, it was brilliant play. It's Davis tonight. I didn't think he was great in the first half. I thought our entire left-hand side, Davis and Harness, simply couldn't get going at all. I don't know if that was them, kind of their tactics negating them, or whether they were just slightly off it, but the entire left-hand side in the first half, I thought, was our weakest area of the pitch. And then in the second half, it was a complete role reversal, wasn't it? With, what, I guess, two assists, you don't get an assist, do you, for the own goal? But yeah, brilliant from Davis to keep going up and down all night, get the shot off. Bit of luck with the guy turning the ball into his own net.
Are you considering that an own goal then? I thought it was going in.
No, it'll be classed as an own goal, I think, won't it?
Well, if it was going in though before the touch, I think it should be Leif Davis's goal. But
I think it probably should be, but I think it will be awarded as an own goal. But either way, who cares? It's, you know, 89th minute. We've done it so many times this season that the character in the squad, they never give up. They never know when they are beaten. The fitness levels are absolutely phenomenal. And yeah, I mean, I'd have loved to have been there tonight. When the crowds came out, I was thinking to myself at the opening of the game, and you see the flames go off, you kind of think, oh, I do miss these games under the lights when it starts to matter in the business end of the season. And I would have loved to have been there at both the full-time whistle and the 89th minute tonight, because I bet people were going absolutely nuts in the stadium. I bet it was an absolutely phenomenal thing to experience.
Yeah. Seb kindly lent his season ticket to my old man for tonight's game, whose last two games at Portman Road have been Ipswich 4, Rotherham 3, and then 3-2 against Bristol City tonight. How good was injury time, Seb, tonight? We just kept going, didn't we?
Yeah, we just kept going, didn't we? I mean, we had a couple of free kicks Morsey put in, and suddenly you're seeing both Burgess and all the normal suspects going forward for it. Like I said, Burns got the afterburners on, got in behind once more, and we just kept going and going and going. I guess we had a couple of times we had the corner when Alhamadi and Sarmiento kind of tried to do the City man Haaland Grealish thing where they just keep winning corner after corner to wind the opposition up. They're not quite on that level because they seem to give it away every single time. But yeah, we kind of saw it out relatively comfortably, and we could easily have scored more. I mean, that period from what Chaplin's equaliser was 77 minutes, was it? That until the end of the game, that 20 minutes was by far the best we played, because we kept tearing them to shreds.
Yeah, and it was definitely a case of, right, the only way we've got any control in this game is if we keep attacking them. In fifth minute of stoppage time, Taylor hits the post with such a powerful left-footed shot. And Sarmiento, I think he actually does quite well to get a shot in there. Yeah. O'Leary makes a good save. Burns then lashes over after a crunching tackle from Taylor tackle in their penalty box. There were some big tackles tonight, wasn't there? The ref really let it go. And that's basically how we saw the game out. Sarmiento just put in some fantastic tackles. Harry Clark put in a big one. He actually was fairly quiet when he came on. He didn't get many opportunities to go forward, but Burns was just superb down that channel, wasn't he? And yeah, as Lee says here, the best form of defence is attack.
It's all we know, really, let's be honest, isn't it? You know, we're not a side that tends to grind out things. We know how many goals we've conceded. I think they put the graphic up saying we've conceded we're 20th for goals conceded at home so far this season. The only thing we know how to do is to try and outscore teams. It's very much a throwback to the Joe Royal era. And yeah, we just kept going and going tonight. And I guess when you're trying to cope with that level of relentless attack after attack coming at you, it's no surprise sides falter, which is why we A, score so many late goals, and B, pick up so many late points.
Yeah, McSourceman says, when we brought on Clark because Axel was tiring, they didn't have the squad to deal with Burns, did they? Yeah, it was the squad again, wasn't it? We've got fantastic depth when we've got most of the players fit, haven't we? And just the bench gang just proved the difference tonight, didn't they?
We saw that, didn't we? The quadruple sub, you're adding pace, you're adding trickery, you're adding running power. And yeah, that's what told in the end, wasn't it? Because up until that point, it's a game of, you can pretty much rule the game up until then, can't you? It's very much a kind of not lethargic performance, but slower than we normally used to performance up until that point. And as soon as that, you know, the running power of Burns, the running power of Alhamadi, the trickery of Sarmiento, Taylor got stuck in nicely in midfield. Once those four came on, our entire kind of energy levels throughout the entire side and the crowd and the stadium just upped a couple of notches, didn't it?
Yeah. Jack Diaf says injury time summed up McKenna Ball. It really did, didn't it?
It really did.
From Ian Goldfinch. It's a little known fact that a photographic negative of Mick McCarthy looks exactly like Kieran. I was thinking that when we had players in the box for that free kick, as you mentioned, the Morsey free kick in injury time, I was like, this is a world away from McCarthy, because when we were away from home, if we were drawing, he wouldn't even do that, would he?
Oh, right. And
completely different set of players and everything like that.
Yeah.
Different set of circumstances, but it's so exciting to watch. Really, really enjoying it. Hopefully you guys are enjoying watching this. Those of you that are watching it live, we've now got almost double the amount of people watching than what we had 5 minutes into it. I'm guessing that's a lot of people that have either switched off the Sky coverage or are joining us fresh from Portman Road. Please give us a like if you're watching live on YouTube and join in the chat. And if you've got a question to ask, please put Q at the start and then a question mark after it. and Seb and I, and then Rich, when he joins, we'll get through as many as we can. Let's have a look at the other results, Seb. Tonight turned out to be one of those nights. If the weekend was one, great to win because of the other teams dropping points. Tonight was one where we kind of expected our rivals to get the job done. They both did. Hopefully Southampton can drop points tomorrow night. But yeah, the big ones there for us. Leeds United 1, Stoke City 0. So difficult game for them. And Jamie Vardy scored the winner for Leicester City away at Sunderland. That's a big win for them, isn't it, Seb? Bouncing yeah, back no, from the three defeats in a row.
Yeah, no real surprises. I know Leicester hit a sticky run of form, but Sunderland, you know, they're a bit of a mess at the moment. Jack Clark is out, so that's kind of probably killed off their playoff kind of chances this season. So I kind of did expect Leicester to go there and get a result. And Leeds, I know Stoke beat them earlier in the season, didn't they? And Stoke got a decent win against Borough on Saturday, but again, at Elland Road, you know, I think they scored relatively early on. Was it Dan James got the goal, didn't he, within the first 15, 20 minutes? And then I was so engrossed in our game in the second half, I completely forgot to check until full time and seen what they'd done. But yeah, again, that's why it's important, because, you know, throughout the second half, every time there was a goal, Sky would put the graphic up and show us, you know, we've dropped down, oh, we're level on points again because we've equalised. And that's an important win tonight. Much as Saturday was fun because they dropped points and we kind of took advantage, tonight was just crucial to get across the line to keep pace with them. Six on the spin now. Last time we did that, as you said in the intro, was 1992, and we all know what happened that season.
What did happen that season, Seb? I was only 1 year old. Well,
yeah, I'm a bit too young, and we need Craig here. Really, I think we got promoted. I think it was like a warm up to the Burley era.
Craig will confirm. Did we win a playoff final?
No, I don't think so. I think we just went straight up, which isn't the really exciting way to do it. You want to win a playoff final, don't you? It's you know, the 1990,000 is the memory of the 90s. But I'm sure next time Craig's on, or if he's listening back, I'm sure he'll set us straight.
I look forward to it. wonderful. Just the other big results for the night don't really affect us, but it was a big night for Coventry City, wasn't it? They got a 5-0 win against Rotherham. They just absolutely blew them away in the first 20 minutes of that game. Ellis Sims, I think, scored a hat-trick. And Hull City dropped points at home to Birmingham. So, yeah, big night in the race for sixth position. Sheffield Wednesday, huge win for them. Plymouth are now in huge trouble near the bottom, aren't they?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I said they were safe on the pre-match show last week. I think on Thursday night, they were kind of 5 points clear. And I said they've probably got enough firepower to get across the line. But the results have all gone against them. And Wednesday are on a real run of form. That's going to be a tough game in 10 days' time, whenever it is, because the job Danny Rowe's done there is absolutely phenomenal. And Plymouth are now, yeah, they're smacking it. I think, I've not looked at the table tonight, but I think there were Saturday, wasn't there, seven teams split by about 2 or 3 points. It's really bunching up down there. And we all thought a few weeks ago it was a certainty. It was QPR, Rotherham, and probably Wednesday that were going down, but now it could be any one of, you know, kind of six or seven sides. It's incredibly exciting down there, but we don't care about that because we've got our own thing to focus on at the other end.
We have, Seb, and that brings me neatly onto the league table. Let's have a look at this. Just because, look at all of that green.
Green.
In there. I don't usually phenomenal. Include the green, but yeah, there we are on 78 points after 36 games. And a lot of people have drawn our attention to the fact that we have scored 73 goals, which is a league high. That's a hell of a lot of luck, isn't it, Seb?
We're just so lucky, aren't we? We're just so lucky. A lucky side to come up from League One and be sat here going into the second weekend in March with that points total. Yeah, what incredible luck. Did you, on our Blue Monday predictions, I put this down as a win tonight. Did you do that as well on your one?
Yeah, I put this down as a win.
Okay, cool.
I'm regretting not putting them all down as a win. Joe Fares S from last year. They say in golf, it is better to be lucky than good. And maybe we're just lucky and good. Rich Woodward, another quiet night in at the library. Not.
I literally was walking up the road thinking, that's what I'm going to say. You stole my line, Mikey. Brilliant. Bloody hell, guys. It's not boring, is it? Jeez. Yeah, great show, by the way. Please give us likes and subscribes. There's a lot of you here. I think we'll stick around as long as we can because there's plenty to talk about. But wow, that did not look possible at about 60 minutes for me, even 75 minutes. McKenna substitutes have won us that match. I thought the referee tonight was really bad. Really, really bad. Bristol City's game plan nearly worked a tee, but the referee just not keeping control of the game. And actually what the substitutes did was get into the other players' heads that we could get stuck into them. And Burns got stuck in, Taylor got stuck in that challenge to try and win us that chance late on. Sarmiento got stuck in, Clark got stuck in as well. And I think we actually got that fight from the substitutes, as well as obviously the immediate impact that Burns creates for the goal and the penalty, etc. But I just felt that Morsy was the only player really setting the tone in the first half to get that actually the referee was letting stuff go. We didn't figure that out. The referee was crap on time wasting, admittedly 8 minutes, but it should have been double that, frankly. But at that point, we don't want 8 minutes, let alone 16. You know, Bristol City getting away with all kinds of stuff. But the referee at least was consistent for the most part that he was going to let stuff go, as you said, Mikey. And none of our players really figured that out until the subs came on. So, you know, the attacking impact that Seb was talking about, of course, but actually having a little bit of fight that to me up to that point was really missing. And probably that's that mood, that kind of fight that the players brought lifted the stadium, because it was a little bit flat at times. But I'm just, buzzing, guys. Absolutely buzzing out of that, because there was a real point in that game where it felt like Rotherham was like, this is not going to go away. I looked at the Sky Sports app. Leeds won 1-0, didn't they? Leicester won 1-0. Yeah.
They both scored quite early.
Yeah. And you think, man, this is the complete opposite of the weekend. And then the team just don't know when to quit, do they? So, yeah, absolutely buzzing. I'll shut up. I've spoken for too long.
No, that's great. Can feel the energy sort of coursing out of your veins.
It's
here.
Electric. It's
lovely.
It really is. Oh, Tony, you legend.
Yeah, Tony's gifted us $2.99.
Mesopotamian Lion Hamadi. There you go.
Wonderful. My second team Ipswich.
Love
it. I'm going to take a running jump here and suggest that Tony is maybe supporting Ipswich as his second team because of a certain Iraqi striker that we've got, Rich.
Yeah, and a real shame that the penalty, right? At least it's not come back to haunt us. I agree with you that the strikers should be taken in absence of a recognised taker like Broadhead. I agree with the assessment of Chaplin. I didn't think it was his best night, so I had no problem with it. And look, the poor guy has probably rarely played in any kind of atmosphere like that. You know, that's a real meaningful moment in a promotion chasing team trying to get automatics for the Premier League. You know, poor guy in front of the North Stand as well. He should have just, can I swear? I'm swearing. He should have just twatted it, shouldn't he? I'm not sure what he was trying to do placing it, but
it looked like the type of penalty of someone that changed his mind.
I think you're probably right.
He never fully committed to it.
And Max O'Leary, a really great keeper as well. You don't want to really face off against O'Leary. But just needs to launch it. But again, you know, the point I make about the subs, Al-Hamadi got stuck in as well. You know, that was, I didn't think, as great as Kiefer Morseb was against Plymouth, I didn't feel he was at it at all tonight. I don't know whether he got a knock. He obviously went down with an injury, didn't he, partway through the half. But there was quite a few people that just didn't, you know, it's a long old trip to Plymouth. We forget that the guys have gone again, haven't they, on a Tuesday night after a long old trip to Plymouth. And Moore was one of those tonight where, it just didn't.
He's barely featured in the first half of the season for Bournemouth. So, you know, he started every game for us after coming on at halftime at Preston. So maybe it's just slightly caught up with him. Like you say, long travel on the weekend. And he got that knock, didn't he? The centre-back came through him in the second half and he kind of went down a couple of times with his foot. So great to have the options now of, you know, having Al-Hamadi as an option to come on, because 2 months ago, you know, we lose George Hurst. Obviously, we're bemoaning that it's Caden Jackson or it's Nathan Broadhead pushed forward into an unfamiliar position. So great to have this strength in depth. And I think Al-Hamadi is the kind of player who will just, I don't think he'll let the penalty kind of affect him. He seems like such a confident lad, such a likable character. I think if we get one against Cardiff and it's nil and he's on the pitch, I think he'll step up again. He's that kind of player, isn't he?
Yep.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Let's do some questions, shall we, guys?
Great numbers. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, by the way. Yeah, get involved because, I'm not going anywhere for at least another 15, 20 minutes. I don't know about Mikey and Seb, poor guys, but yeah, do give Mikey and Seb a thumbs up. I'm buzzing off. I'm not going to be. There's a band called Enter Shikari. Have got a song called Not Getting Any Sleep Tonight. I think that will be a lot of us tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I actually felt like my heart rate was a little bit higher after the Rotherham game for some reason, but I think that's just because it was different.
For me, it was tonight.
Tonight was exhilaration, though. Maybe I just react slightly different to that.
The mood in Portman Road was really different. I think the Rotherham game kind of, because the Hutchinson goal was so out of place in the rest of the performance in the second half, it was kind of like we got away with kind of one. It was that kind of emotion, whereas tonight was... The four subs came on. Clark came on. By the way, Harry Clark, I think Seb mentioned it as well, didn't bomb forward that much. But actually, the biggest difference that Harry Clark made tonight that really frustrated me for the whole night was it didn't work down the right-hand side with Nzebi and Hutchinson. Hutchinson kept having to drop in to get the ball off Nzebi. There were opportunities to fling in the ball in behind. Yeah. And neither of them really could get that working. When Clark came on, the first thing he did was ping the ball over the top to Burns. Admittedly, it went out for a throw.
Yeah, but a throw in a good position.
Like a rugby playing for yards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And Clark did that straight away. Burns made a massive difference tonight. But I think that substitution of Clark, that was something that I wanted to see, and he absolutely did that. So big shout out to Harry Clark. Obviously, it's no slight on Nzebi, he was excellent, but I think we just needed to try and unlock behind, get in behind, and Burns was doing that, and Clark helped that. We were talking about the emotion, weren't we? Sorry, let me briefly talk about the emotion as well. In comparison to Rotherham, we kind of got out away with one there, but this one felt, from 75 minutes, 80 minutes onwards, just momentum was building and building. You could feel that it was kind of one of those moments where the North Sound kind of sucks the ball into the goal kind of thing. It was that kind of night, Mikey.
I'm unbelievably jealous. I didn't even get to watch the whole game at home. I had to listen to the first 15 minutes. I've been driving back down from Liverpool today. Martin wants to know, said, did you spot David Diamond on Sky in the last few minutes?
I didn't see him.
Was he celebrating, Martin? I hope so, because we were papped on Town in Five, weren't we, Seb? And our good friend Mullet, who is getting a bit of a reputation of not joining in. So hopefully Dave was looking jovial and excited. And hello to Mullet. We love you. Don't worry. We appreciate you.
Lovely. We've covered this one. Why didn't Chappers take the pen? We've covered that one. Mark Markson, is McKenna on course to have his own statue at Fortress Portman Road? I think back-to-back promotions. It's been done before, and he has a statue, doesn't he?
He does. Yep. I've mentioned it before. I think he needs to get us in the Premier League first, guys. Yeah. Wow. And as I said, I think the substitutions have changed it tonight, and that's down to the manager, isn't it?
Michael Warner, I think this one's a little bit unjust. Can we just win every game now? No problems. Yeah, just some
1-0s. Boring 1-0s.
That 2-0 at Plymouth was a nice refreshing change, wasn't it? It was good that preceded this one.
It really was. Yeah, I don't know what's Tuesday nights at Portman Road. It always gets a bit balmy and, yeah, could do with a little bit more, yeah, just comfortable. And to be fair, I thought we started the game, the first 5 minutes, I thought we started really well. I thought we got really at them, didn't we? And then it just started to fall apart, really. And, yeah, it's a shame.
Michael Warner, Axel or Clark? I'm not sure who's better. It's horses for courses, really, that one, isn't it? And Tuan Zabi deserved his start tonight. And two games back, I think we were a little bit worried that we were going to be missing Clark, and Tuan Zabi stepped up, but it ultimately isn't his best position. He's a really good deputy, but Clark just offers us something else, and that showed tonight off the bench, didn't it, Seb?
Yeah, you summed it up perfectly there. Tuan Zabi is a centre-back who can kind of do a job at right-back. Harry Clark just gives you that little bit more attacking kind of momentum. You know what you're going to get from him. He has that natural link-up with Burns that comes with 18 months or whatever it is, 15 months of kind of playing together. So Tuan Zabi's done really well. And if it helps us manage the Achilles issue with Clark, then happy days. But it might well be a bit of horses for courses, like you said, Mikey, for the rest of the season. Don't be surprised to see them kind of rotate that spot if needed. If it was a playoff final tomorrow for me and both are fit, I'd play Harry Clark personally. Just for that extra attacking momentum.
Automatics, mate.
Yeah, that brings us neatly onto this question then, Rich. 10 games to go. How many points do we actually need?
How many points are we on? Is it 78 now?
Yeah, 78. 10 to go, 30 points to play for.
It feels like at least another 20, doesn't it, sadly? I
think more like 25.
Yeah. Look at that. That's a good... Well, for people listening on the podcast afterwards, we're looking at the league table.
I'm looking at the league table again. So,
I'll be honest, guys. When they scored again, I was really thinking, how am I going to text you and say, I'm not speaking tonight. I don't want to come on. And I looked at the Sky Sports app as well. No scores. Like, oh, bloody hell. But no, here we are. Here we are. Football's a funny game, isn't it? 10 minutes, 15 minutes is a long time. But yeah, I think 25 points probably, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Here's one out of the left field for you, Rich. Jack Diath, if McKenna goes at the end of the season, obviously I hope he doesn't, would Manning be the number one choice to replace him? I don't think he would be, but it's one that we could probably get behind, right?
Yeah, I can see the logic there. Obviously, a lot of Ipswich Town history there. Same with Chris Hogg is number two. So there's lots to like there. I'm sure Mark Ashton might want to piss off Bristol City a little bit more as well. Hello to Bristol City fans and commiserations, because I thought you guys had your underdogs against the top six strategy works really well, doesn't it? And nearly worked again. But yeah, I can see the logic there. I think Joe mentioned it a few weeks ago, actually, but Danny Roll for me might be front of the queue at the moment, depending on what goes on there. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to like about that choice. It's yeah. I don't know whether there's other options, Mikey. That's the trouble. We shouldn't be thinking about it, Jack. But it's a fair question.
No, let's talk about McKenna again, then, shall we? Matt Phillips, is Kieran McKenna the best manager/coach in our lifetime? These results don't happen without fantastic coaching and man management skills. I will just give the shout for George Burley. He did get us to fifth in the Premier League without really spending a lot of money after we got promoted. I know different times and all of that, but let's not forget that the fantastic things that George Burley did at our club. And obviously he had an interesting connection with the game tonight. It was, and that got a shout out on Sky.
No news.
She's called Lisa, George Burley's daughter. We learned that tonight. We obviously knew that Chris Hogg is her husband, but we got a little bit of extra detail there, didn't we, Seb? There was a few things that I found quite frustrating in the Sky coverage tonight, Rich, which I've already mentioned tonight. And I thought, actually, I'm not going to take credit for this, but I thought that the commentary was much improved in the second half and far less critical every time our moves broke down. MJ, Dumbarton, when are we promoted? Do you think it will be a big Nottingham Forest rebuild, or do we just pepper in a few bits of quality to an exciting attacking squad? But I will say, looking at the teams that have gone up from last season, it's the team that's made the least changes but hasn't lost players. That's the key difference, because Luton didn't lose anyone and they've made a few sort of smart acquisitions. Sheffield United, we're just in an unfortunate position where they were forced to sell their two best players and struggled to replace them. So a little bit of both, do you think, here, Seb?
I think so. Hashtag Dave Diamond, bit of both. I think we'll need some kind of, not surgery, but we'll certainly need some quality additions in a few places. I'd imagine if we were to go up, you're probably looking straight away. Goalkeeper, centre half, probably a proven striker, maybe.
Winger.
Yeah, the entire squad. No, I think we'll see some smart, clever additions. I'd expect you're not going to go out Forest style and sign 21 new players or whatever it is. That's not how we operate as a football club. You know, we give the ownership group and Mark Ashton incredible credit. They'll keep us the right side of FFP lines, but they'll be smart enough to realise that, you know, we'll look to buy some assets with a look to develop them. And then potentially, if we were to go down, for example, I'm talking about as if we were getting relegated from the Premier League, which sounds crazy, doesn't it, given where we were 2 years ago, whatever it was. But if we were to go down, we'd have obviously the huge advantage then of a parachute payment, possibly a few saleable assets. And I think that's when you really look to make almost not wholesale changes to the squad, but that's when you look to really go out there and stamp your authority in the transfer market and kind of deliver the model they've all been promising for the last couple of years.
Is this chat making you feel slightly uncomfortable, Rich? A little bit preemptive, isn't it?
I'll indulge it. MJ asked a good question, so I'm happy to answer. I'm happy that Seb's the one who's answered it.
Are you more confident this season or last? Because last season you were dead against promotion. You were against promotion, obviously, but you were every week.
Premature chat.
Every week you were saying, don't get too excited, everyone calm down, etc. You know, are you the same mindset this year? Because you seem more excited, but...
Yeah, the thing is that...
I'm going to jump in. I think Rich is worried that we're going to get promoted while he's in Las Vegas in a few weeks.
No, well, the only thing that should happen in Vegas is we beat Norwich. Did you guys see the face-up between Wardley and Clark, by the way?
Yeah, did he put out a Norwich shirt?
Yeah, talk us through that, Rich, because I didn't see a moment of that. I don't know if it was even shown on Sky, was it, Seb?
Right. So it was a face-off, because they've got a fight in a few weeks, and... Fabio Wardley walked out in a lovely, nice suit, and Fraser Clark in a bomber jacket, and then stripped off and had a Norwich shirt on underneath. And obviously, it was almost WWE rather than boxing, just to wind the crowd up. And you know, it was a bit of panto, really. And then they got in each other's face for about a minute, and then walked off. And yeah, I mean, all power to Fabio Wardley. I hope he smashes a guy to pieces, to be honest, after he did that. But it's a weird spectacle to watch a football match. It was better than, I guess. I need to say this, by the way. If anyone from the football club is listening to this, if your competition is called Grab a Grand and no one ever wins a grand, they win. It's like Phoenix Nights. It's like, and your prize draw tonight is a good £63. You know, you get they need to rename the competition, Mike. It's called Grab a Grand. And no, unless it's the aggregate of all the winnings across the season equals a grand, that just bugs the crap out of us in where we are. But at least we had some entertainment rather than listening to the Grab a Grand draw.
Yeah, something to look at. Bring back the golden gamble. That's
I'm
what
covering all the important bases tonight, guys.
Yeah, this is a nice insight for those of us that weren't at the game tonight, Rich. I say bring back the golden gamble because I won it once. I won it in the dark Paul Jewell days. Yeah, £250, and I was so skint at the time as well. It was fantastic.
Nice.
I think my mum bought the ticket for me.
You had to pay for your mascot kit. Was that why you were out of pocket?
I'm still wearing that shirt now. It was that Eon shirt was kept at my mum and dad's away from me for years, and yeah, I've got it back now. Long sleeves. Sixto Peralta was sat with Burley and Osman tonight, so yeah,
you'd have enjoyed that.
Yeah, wasn't just Sarmiento; it was Sixto tonight at Portman Road.
Did you see the Greyhound menu in his honour? The menu item at the Greyhound in his honour as well. I can't remember the pun.
Sixto. Pie ale. I can't remember, something to do with it. It's a wicked
pie mash,
isn't it?
Gravy bun with chips. Whoa! Got a Greyhound.
Love it. Football Head 7. Do you feel McKenna's substitutions are almost premeditated rather than reactionary? He didn't seem surprised by how the first half went. Would he have even been that disappointed at halftime, Rich?
I don't know. I think always you want to give the first team the team in the first half the benefit of the doubt, give them some new instructions, and give them the start of the second half. So I don't know whether it was premeditated, but it clearly wasn't. Nothing had changed after halftime, put it that way. So I wasn't surprised. I was maybe surprised that it was a quadruple substitution. I think there might have been a little bit of reactionary tonight, but only because I just don't think we'd figured out how to deal with Bristol City. And therefore, I think McKenna does this from time to time. There will be a big extravagant gesture, which is, I'm not happy. This is not good enough. And yeah, tonight it was four subs. I suspect that wasn't in the plan at 45 minutes. I don't think at halftime it was, if it gets to 60, I'm making four subs. I think we needed a bit of a wake-up call.
Lovely. Super. Whoa. Unsupervised.
Norwegian kroner, is that?
Norwegian kroner, yeah. I'm not sure how much 100 Norwegian kroner is. So for those of us listening, we've had another cash. We don't call it super donation,
chat.
Do we, Rich?
Super yeah, chat. Super chat. Pod.
Yeah, so he said, love the show. Are you considering developing the watch-along concept? Leicester is starting a long-lasting slump. Well, they did win tonight, unfortunately. Going for first, greetings from a Norwegian blue. Yeah, that fantastic to have you with us, super unsupervised. Yeah, Rich, talk us through what Benjamin Bloom was up to tonight with his live stream.
Yeah, well, so Ben has got watch-alongs on his channel. We definitely recommend watching them anyway. But we realised that we could simultaneously stream them at multiple YouTube channels, and therefore, if Town fans want to watch, they're on our channel too. So obviously we're back on Sky on Saturday. So Cardiff game, Ben's live stream. Now that we've won the game, by the way, I probably would have had a chat if we'd lost it or drawn it, maybe, that, you know. But yeah, so you can watch the Cardiff game, watch along, both on Ben's channel or here on Blue Monday. And then, you know, usual shows for us this week and afterwards as well. But yeah, just a bonus bit of content there. And thank you to everyone for the feedback on the Bristol City preview as well, that Ben, Dave and Joe stuck out on Monday as well. I think the plan is to do more of those as well, but not a few weeks till the next midweek or so. I think I might join Ben for at least some of the game, maybe a big chunk of it on Saturday as well. So keep a lookout for that.
Brilliant stuff. I'm going to answer this one from Fresh Fielder. Can we, he's a West Ham fan, swap Moyes and Cresswell for McKenna and Davis? No, you can't. but maybe we'll take Cresswell as backup for Leif Davis, whoever's playing left back next season. But yeah, thanks for joining us. It's great having fans of different clubs in the chat, and indeed fans from all over the world. Let's get on to more Leif Davis chat. So two assists and a goal tonight. Yes, a goal, Seb. It was a goal for Leif Davis. How much is Davis worth now? I mean,
he's a 15, the left back 20 issues
that
pound.
England have got. Can't be
15,
long,
20 million pound player plus add-ons, isn't he? To be honest, you know, you've got to look for comparables. I think if we were to sell him tomorrow, yeah, 20 million quid plus add-ons, 15 million plus Flynn Downs, West Ham, we'll probably start the conversation at that point, maybe. But yeah, this is what the model is, isn't it? You know, you buy him for relatively cheap, 1 million, was it 1.5 million? Look how much we've developed him. I don't know at the top of my head, what's Trippier's record for assists in the Championship? If you know it, stick it in the chat, because he must be, is he now on 15 after tonight, 16?
Was tonight his first goal of the season as well in the league?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was. By the way, how awesome is it when, I'm in the North Stand lower, by the way, when a ball flies across the penalty area and you think, oh, someone's got to get in the end of it.
Someone's
running
onto it.
And Leif Davis is pegging it in at the far post. That was so like, oh my God, Leif Davis is there. Yeah, 25 for me at least, 25. Higher.
He's exactly the man you want running onto it as well, isn't he?
What a guy.
Just such composure. Very Finnish problems asked, was that the most game of two halves game of the season? Can you think of a bigger example of a game of two halves?
Cardiff 2-0 yeah. down at Portman Road, looking Blackburn. Completely out of it, and then
it's more of a half of two halves, isn't it, than a game of two halves? Because I think,
well, no, because the first half very little happened in
true, but
in
we weren't bad, were we? Bristol City weren't on top, were they, at that point? The chances came in the second half, but yeah, I mean, we've got these weird kind of really back to front games, so many of them. Blackburn, yeah, Cardiff, yeah, entertainment.
We've got somebody's done the maths for us here. £7.44. That is fantastic. Thanks so much for that donation. Says Davis equaled the assist record tonight.
Wow.
Okay. Right. With 10 games to go. Wow.
14.
By the way, thank you to everyone who's done a super chat, but also this loads of you here tonight, and we are close to smashing records again. We thought we did it on Sunday night, but we're doing it tonight as well. Please do give us a thumbs up. That is a great currency for us as well. As the guys mentioned, you know, me and my nerdy analytics, my Mark Ashton dashboard, all that kind of stuff, likes do really well for us and really nudge us up and recommend the podcast further afield. So please do that, and obviously subscribe as well. We hit a really good milestone over the weekend too, but we'd love to see more of you here. And you know, every time there's a midweek game, the guys will be here, and I'll run up the road and get all sweaty and join you and make no sense. But yeah, we're here with a pre-match show on a Thursday, live at 8 p.m, giving you the rundown of the team that Tan are going to face at the weekend, and then we're back on a Sunday night at 8 o'clock as well to talk about the game as well. So plenty of stuff going on here, and please get involved. And you know, the live chat is always fantastic as well, so thanks for getting involved, folks.
Yeah, it means a lot and just makes it so much more enjoyable, doesn't it? Fresh Finder, he's still trying to do deals with me. He said, we'll chuck in Down, Zuma, Ings and Cornet too. Yeah, maybe if you chuck Pakatar and maybe Ward-Prowse as well, because we'll need to replace Leif Davis's set pieces if you're taking him off us. So well, yeah, come back to me on that one. Nick says, we can't play like we did in the first half again in the last 10 games. I didn't feel like we were out of control, though, at any point. I can live with a dodgy first half like that. You don't want it happening in the second half, though.
No, I don't know about how Seb felt about it, but Plymouth on Saturday, we weren't on top. We weren't dominant, but we had a good amount of control of the game. And you kind of feel like the longer the game goes on, as we know, the stronger we seem to get, particularly with the strength we've got on the bench. So I'm okay with a fairly meh first half, as long as the performance, the levels increase. I think the issue tonight, as I say, was it was kind of a 6 out of 10 first half, and then a 6 out of 10, maybe a 5 out of 10 first half of the second half. I think that was the issue, but McKenna addressed it with the subs, didn't he? So yeah, I'm okay with us containing, because we know we're only going to get better, I think.
And like I said at the start of the show, sometimes you do have to give credit to the opposition. You know, Manning's tactics were absolutely spot on, especially for that first half. You know, Sky had him as a 4-2-3-1. He kind of pushed Jason Knight up almost as a two up front alongside Naki Wells, where they were compact across the middle. They were disciplined. And yeah, sometimes you have to hold your hands up and say, yep, fair play. It might take us a little bit longer tonight than normal to work out how to beat these guys. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
Here's an early one from me for the pre-match show, but maybe you can give us a little taste. Do you think Jack Taylor did enough tonight to potentially warrant coming in? Luongo, understandably, was a little bit off-colour tonight, wasn't he?
Yep. Oh, Seb's muted himself just at the wrong time. I was offering up the opportunity for him to answer. I would have started Travis tonight. I'm not sure why Travis didn't get a look in.
Nine bookings. It's a bit of a risk, isn't it? He's on nine.
But then if Luongo is then well enough to start on Saturday, it's not a problem, is it? I think Taylor was a good substitution tonight because of the swashbuckling nature of his play, and he might ping a worldie in, which we might have needed if we hadn't broken them down or got him behind them. I don't think he's a starter anytime soon. But yeah, it wasn't a great night.
About a month as well, about 5 weeks now he's been out, hasn't he? So it'd be a big ask, I think, to come straight into to start as well. I'd probably expect it to be Mongo Jerry.
Mongo Jerry.
I'm tired.
You should see what we got Pete Gibbons. Sean O'Halloran, if Southampton fail to win tomorrow, are they out of the picture? I wouldn't
rule them out.
Who are they playing?
They've got tough fixtures, but
they would certainly be. Their heads would probably drop, wouldn't they? Because at that point, if they were to lose, what are they, 8 points off second? With you've still got 10 games to go. You know, it's officially the running. Preston are on decent run of form recently, but yeah, hopefully they can do us a favour. But even if they were to lose, I wouldn't rule them out, given the 21 game winning spell, whatever, unbeaten spell they went on in the first half of the season.
Do you see this Opta supercomputer tracking the likely promotion?
Yeah, it had a stir, didn't it? Leeds.
Yeah, had Southampton had a really like a one single digit percentage chance of automatics, which I thought was a bit surprising. So maybe the supercomputer needs to do better. I don't know.
Show me the supercomputer from February the 15th, 2023, Rich.
Yeah,
and then
I can't, Mikey. Doesn't exist. Yeah. It's a spreadsheet.
Matt Phillips, please spare a thought for Southampton Leicester tonight.
Oh, they're so lucky, Ipswich. Oh.
Well, this is us last year, isn't it? Every time we would win, we'd kind of look at our phones and stuff and we'd go, oh, bloody hell, Plymouth have scored again in the 89th minute. Oh, so yeah, it's just how it goes this season. And
more own goals.
Luck, by the way, everyone.
Were we a little bit lucky tonight, boys?
No, not with that last 20 minutes. It was relentless. It was the subs making a difference.
But a little bit of luck here and there.
I think the luck, Mikey, is Bristol City not taking that second. Was it Mehmeti got Naki in again, Wells. Didn't he? Was it Naki Wells?
One when Naki Wells hit the
Mehmeti
woodwork.
Was bloody lightning, wasn't he, by the way?
Yeah.
Absolutely scary. I think Bristol City, there's a third goal for them there. If they get that, I think they might at least get the point, maybe more. So we got lucky in respect to Bristol City. Do they hit the bar or something? What I'm trying
inside,
to remember.
Yeah, so, yeah, and Naki Wells cut inside, put Burgess and Davis down, didn't he?
Yeah.
And curled it off the inside, or kind of the angle where the post hits the bar, and we got away with one there, didn't we?
Maybe
that
got
was
lucky.
1-0 at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, more...
Chules UK though says we hit the post twice and missed a penalty.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
No more red cards though tonight. Bloody lucky, aren't we, eh?
And a deflection against us. So
sorry, why did the guy who brought Burns down for the penalty not get a card?
Yeah, it was weird that, wasn't it?
Because he got the ball.
Because
he got booked later on, didn't he?
Mikey, I heard it.
Look at the ball ref. Thunderstruck, how many of the last six games are we winning without the four January signings?
Oh, that's a great question.
Don't have to worry about that too much, do we? But
and we still average two goals a game since Kiefer Moore joined, haven't we?
Here's a question, Thunderstruck. Would we still be in League One if we hadn't signed Clark, Luongo, Hurst and Broadhead last January? Try that in the think walk.
And McSourceman says it was 2.5 to 0.5 XG tonight. They missed the chance at 1-0. For 2-0, it's a different game. Yeah. I guess the penalty bumps our XG up a little bit, doesn't it? But we did earn the penalty with our attacking thrust, didn't we? And Horse Hollerer says their first was a lucky deflection. Yeah, this one isn't going away, is it, the whole luck thing?
No. We should embrace it.
Graham says Stoke gave Leeds a run for their money tonight. Obviously, Stoke had a good win at the weekend. I was hopeful that they might make life difficult for Leeds. Hopefully, that a tiring night for them, and there'll be harder games ahead for Leeds as well. Paul Barton says, well, shot that hit the bar took a slight bobble before he hit it. There's the luck. But we will inject ourselves with this luck, won't we? And we'll continue to enjoy it.
Yep. Well, and Taylor shot it at the post. By the way, there was Portman Road fell quiet. Taylor shouting for the ball. I think Chaplin let it run for him, didn't he? I heard Jack Taylor shout for it. That's how loud he shouted for it. And that if that had gone in, I think Portman Road would have gone absolutely crazy. That would have been the loudest cheer of the season, I think, because at that moment, that momentum, the crowd as well behind it. And yeah, it's just a shame that didn't find the back of the net, because I think we'd have gone absolutely crazy at that one. But hey-ho, we're just a bit unlucky, aren't we?
Yeah, we had more exciting moments in injury time tonight than we did for about the first, two of the first three seasons doing this podcast. Platters 30 says, tonight was last season's Sheffield Wednesday at home last year. This time we even managed to win. Yeah, are you drawing any parallels? Maybe the Port Vale game of the Broadhead double off the bench?
That's the most likely comparison, isn't it, in terms of kind of having to dig deep and kind of getting across the line and just doing what you can to kind of win the game. Yeah, I guess we blew so many sides away last year in the running, didn't we? 4-0, 6-0 here, there and everywhere, scoring goals left, right and centre. The Port Vale one was the one where a side came up against us, was disciplined, kind of went 1-0 down, showed a bit of character to come back. So I guess that's the most likely comparison. And we all know what happened last season.
I think we've got a bit of a Roy Keane character in the chat here now. We've got Richard Gilling says, Town must stop the celebrations after each goal. It's adding extra time. And the
do
other
your
team,
job. Do your job.
Sorry. It's great. It's as good as the huddle, isn't it, before kickoff, which they kind of eke out as long as they possibly can to kind of slightly annoy the opposition stuff. I'm all for that kind of stuff. I love Chaplin's incredibly slow walk back. Even if he hasn't scored, he still takes an absolute eternity to walk back to the centre circle, and I'm all for it. I love that level of S-housery.
So Bristol City took their time with their goal celebrations as well. The referee kind of huddled in with them down the opposite end. I thought that was a bit weird as well. I didn't think the referee was good. I'll mention it again. I thought the referee was poor tonight. But
he did let a lot go, didn't he? And that did make for an exciting end to the game.
And as I said, we didn't really figure that out until the subs came on. But Yeah, it's not cost us in the end, but I wasn't happy with him. North Stand weren't either. Not that it matters. Move on. Do your job.
Lovely. And moving on, Rich, talk us through what we have coming up on Blue Monday this week.
Yeah, I mean, apart from tomorrow, and this will be out as a podcast probably tonight, but it'll be probably tomorrow actually by the time it'll be Wednesday. You're hearing this on audio. But yeah, Thursday night, Seb and I back here talking about Cardiff, and then Ben's live watch along which will be on his channel and here on Blue Monday YouTube as well. So do follow the game if you're not at Cardiff with us. And then Sunday night, Ben, Craig and Dave talking through Cardiff after the fact as well. We also, I think, have a few cameos here. I think I'm chatting to Gab Sutton tomorrow as well. So yeah, plenty of stuff going on here. Do like, subscribe. And thanks so much, folks, for getting involved. As always, the chat, the numbers at 11:15 as we record this are huge. So thank you, everyone. Obviously, everyone's really excited. I think thank you, Kieran McKenna. Thank you, Ipswich Town. But yeah, plenty of stuff going on here. So do subscribe. And BlueMondayITFC.co.uk is our website, and all the links to all the stuff you need, like the Telegram group. I'm sure the match day chat were loving it tonight as well. So do get involved in that too.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Rich. And thanks as ever, Seb. Just brilliant being able to chat through these games right after the final whistle while the adrenaline is still high. Now we've got to go and try and sleep. But if we can't, just think about that league table once again. There we are. We are second in the league in, what is this, the 5th of March. Where were we a year ago? Just incredible, isn't it? Everybody, keep enjoying this journey. It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.